The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Now listening to Beyond the Veil, the Secret World.
Greetings and salutations, Beyonders. I am Xander, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Veil. The secret world, because it's a secret. Don't tell anybody unless you tell everybody, and then it's good, because we want people in the game. I'm going to talk like this for the rest of the episode. And Dina, how are you tonight?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm glad we're talking like this, so we can keep it a secret, okay?
Okay.
That was Rowan. Rowan, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I almost wanted to say fan-diddly-tastic, but now it's selling Ned Flanders. And he's not a secret. He can't keep a secret. But Galadrix can keep a secret. Galadrix, how are you?
Okay.
I knew it was going to break somewhere. And Faye, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Just don't eat a caramel before you go on air.
Nom nom.
That's rough.
Yeah, sticky teeth. Yeah, well, we have quite a few things to talk about tonight, but first let's start off with the show with, you know, something that came up, started last week, and I guess is going to continue. Apparently there's people take little snippets of audio from when we're doing different missions and everything during a secret world on the weekend. And well, this is this weekend's play of, you know, Beyond's Gone Crazy.
Last time on
Beyond's Gone Crazy.
Boobies were shooting at you.
It was what? What'd you say?
Boobies was shooting at you.
Yeah, her pointy nipples are just taking me out.
I got stuck by Sandy Moose.
You got stuck by a moose?
Sandy Moose?
Yeah, Sandy Moose.
I think she has some tummy problems. Let's give her a tummy tuck.
No. There's Big Mother coming down.
Let's give her a tummy tuck.
No.
Oh, let's just kill her again?
No. No, we don't have to. Just come here and kill the nipples.
What?
Kill the nipples. Kill the nipples.
What?
Exactly what I said.
What?
Kill the nipples. Did you get that?
Did we get nipples?
Oh my god, I'm still laughing over here.
The thing is, it was completely hilarious. You know, like the nipples that she was referring to was, We were actually farming signets down in Kingsmith, and there's the witches that would go around, I can't remember the other one, the blood witches or something like that. Anyway, there's the ones that just float around and just beat you up.
We were in Blue Mountains. Remember, well, we were doing a mission in Blue Mountains, I think.
Well, we started off in Kingsmith doing secret farming.
The nipples. I really don't remember what they are in the game, like the name of the monster.
The brood witches?
That's it, the brood witches.
Could be, yeah. And they were followed by those sea creatures. They can engulf you in that water balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The drug impaler, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a secret
about the
world.
Deep sea things.
Yes, yeah.
They're
deep sea crawlers
for
or something.
Yeah, well, we were actually talking. Well, just to sum up what happened. Yeah, we were fighting those, and it was just hilarity always ensues. But we were talking to Joe Bylos, and that, yeah, the reason why we see nipples in the game is because they're not actually human. They're actually, you know, zombies or creatures, so they can get away with it. You know, that's why every now and then if the game glitches and you're next to a female character and their clothing glitches right off, they're wearing, you know, like a thong and little smiley faces on their own nipples, right? Well, that's why, you know, our actual tunes that are based off of humans, our likenesses or whatever, yeah, that's why they have the little smiley faces, because it's against the game registry code. But apparently, you know, brood witches can have really, you know, big ones. Yeah.
Really big ones.
Yeah.
The Especially demons in like Hellrise, Hell.
I love those.
They're also like that, the succubi or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really cool. I like those creatures. And the one that was at the end of the mission, what was it? The dungeon in next to the hotel. I think it's the hotel, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh yeah, the one with the wings.
Yeah, yeah. What's
I don't
that
know the name of
oh,
it.
Oh, Glatrix Savior.
Hellraised.
Hellraised or Hell or Hellenbach or something?
Yes, Hellraised is the Hellraised first is in the at the Overlook Home Motel. Mm-hmm. Hellraised is the dungeon. Hellenbach, I believe, is the what's it? The actual mission.
Yeah.
That yeah, was Hellenbach a really good. It's just an investigation, isn't it?
Are we confused?
A little bit.
Always.
Is Albert Einstein shooting at me?
A little bit.
Yes, he thinks he's being clever. I'm not really sure.
Professor Poop Pocket Martinez.
I thought he said Poop Ecker. Well, anyway. He is an Illuminati.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You know, Jeffrey Combs playing the mad scientist in the tutorial for the Illuminati was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All dressed up like Albert Einstein. I can't, since I guess I'm still under NDA, that wasn't the original model. The original model, I think I prefer the original guy. It was still Jeffrey Combs, but it was a different model. Then they put the Albert Einstein-ish looking guy, which actually kind of gave it a little bit more of a cool zing to it. But I think I liked the original model from the closed beta.
Jeffrey Combs is
awesome. Are there pictures of that somewhere?
No, they're protected under NDA, so they should be undisclosed. People should not be able to see them. But yes, we have lots of things to talk about. But first, we're going to talk about your voice returns. So, you know, we know Martea left for a little while, and then she came back. And now that she's back, she's like the community manager for all the games for Funcom right now, covering Anarchy Online, Conan, and The Secret World. And I think there's another one. For some reason, I'm thinking that there's a third MMO. Or a fourth one, is there?
No, just three.
I read something, so it wasn't Lego minifigures, it was something else. I think they had another one.
Oh, that one's in development, I believe. Yeah, it's some kind of Lego minifigures.
Yeah. But now that she's back at the helm, she was the one that originally brought up your voice. Now, what your voice is, where you can actually log on to their forums, go, it's stickied up there, so you'll be able to find it. And you can go and ask the devs questions. Now, what they do is they usually take, in the beginning it was 5 questions, then it grew to 10 questions. You can post as many questions as you want. My advice to you is to post 1 or 2 questions, let someone else post a question or two or whatever, and then you post another 2 questions. So if you have like 10 questions you want to ask, and you want a higher chance of your questions being answered, you know, spread them out. Don't put them in one massive wall of text. Spread them out. Put like 1 or 2 questions here. Wait until someone posts. Then post another one. You know, spread them out a little bit so that way you can get some more coverage. But yeah, your voice is up for May. Now you have until May 15th to post your questions. And then after that, Joel and the dev team will choose, I'm not sure how many of their questions are they going to get this time, if they're going to do 5 or 10, but they'll take a bunch of questions, and hopefully yours will get answered. and you can find that on the Funcom forums. Have any of you guys had your questions answered yet in the forums?
No. Well, I haven't tried to ask questions.
Yeah, I was about to say, I didn't ask any.
Yeah, at this point, what confuses me is they said that they're working on getting the February questions answered, which was when Mortea originally was ousted. So it may be a while before they get to your May questions.
Well, they just might bypass that altogether and just go for May.
Well, they said they are going to answer February's, but I guess there was no March or April, so I guess they would finish February and jump to May.
Yeah, well, hopefully February's will come out soon, and then we'll get May's. But, you know, a lot of good questions come out in there. So there's also a link inside that forum post to bring you back to previous your voice questions that's been answered. So go check that out before you actually go and ask your question, because it might have already been asked. And keep them cool and creative, you know. I like actually reading some of them. They're actually pretty thoughtful.
I just put the link to the forum post for your voice in our live stream chat channel. So if anyone wants to know where it is and doesn't want to go around the forums digging it out, you can find the link in our Holosuite XS live stream channel.
Sweet! Now, the big thing, right on the chopping block, boom, right in your face. Game Director's Letter, April 2013. So, I am assuming you all read this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're fired if you didn't.
Yeah, it sounded very familiar to me.
Yes. So, he actually goes on.
We heard it all before.
It's kind of an echo of the past, really. You know, like, I actually kind of thought about going and getting the last one and comparing the two, because I really didn't see anything that really just jumped out at me. The one thing that really kind of, you know, was hinted was the snowmobile, you know, running around, doing a snowball chase across the Carpathian Fangs. That would be kind of cool. I'm actually looking forward to that because it's reminiscent of the Cairo, you know. So we just did Cairo, and their game mechanics that they did in Cairo with the train, I think that's actually a kind of cool idea. So, I'm not sure if it's, you know, it's going to live up to, you know, Cairo. Like, if it's going to be, like, compared to it, or if it's going to be something completely different. Like, maybe you're actually sitting down.
I think it'll be compared, you know, I mean, I don't know. To me, there has been nothing else in any game I've ever played quite like the train.
Yeah, me too. It was phenomenal.
Exactly. It was phenomenal, like you said. And each stage, no matter how long it took you to do the stage, you know, kind of like that that lady or girl who was on the train for 14 hours or whatever, expecting something, you know, expecting to arrive in Cairo. I guess. You know, wherever she was in stage in the instance was where she was stuck, you know, because she wasn't moving forward.
She derailed the train.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, it was just however they designed that was just absolutely perfect. Well, I don't know, perfect, but, you know, I mean, it was amazing to me. You know, and the way that the slight rock of the train. I'm a train enthusiast, so, among other things. So it was
like Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Bazinga.
You're in my spot, by the way.
No. You are in my spot. It's in the perfect angle, so that way I get lots of nice fresh air. Yeah, it's not too cold. Yeah, I can also see a good, you know, no reflection from the TV, and it's nice and warm.
Excellent. So,
Zynga.
But anyway, so yeah, if the snowmobile fight and, you know, whatever else the laser, apparently the narrow
flame
escape throw. And, well, I'm talking about the instances themselves, what he describes, base jumping from an exploding bridge. It could be pretty phenomenal. I mean, they definitely have to, or probably have set the bar very high with issue 6. I mean, last train to Cairo was fantastic.
That's the thing. The last train to Cairo has been wildly accepted and praised. So, like you said, they've really set the bar high for any future DLCs. Hopefully they can deliver.
Yeah, he did say issue 7 would live up to issue 6 and hopefully go past it.
Yeah, but that's what he said. You know, what the general public playing the game will say remains to be seen.
True.
I don't know. There's one little tidbit in here I'm kind of excited about that most people probably are not excited about, is the fact that you're going to be able to stream your music playlist and your favorite radio stations directly through the game. Being said, I'm one of those weirdos who doesn't actually play the game with sound on. And usually I have my headphones in one ear, and then I have my other headphones in another ear with the music playing. I just like to play the game with music in the background. And this will make it so I don't have to use two headphones to do it.
It's not new to the genre. I can't remember. There are other games basically that will play the MP3s on your computer, which is not that it's not cool for TSW, but one thing that he said something about being able to use soundtracks at the Albion Theater, which implies to me that you'll be able to broadcast or somehow project and have other people listen to your music through the game.
Yeah. And if this is the case,
this could be great for us. So instead of broadcasting on Holosuite Live Access, which we'll probably end up still doing, we could actually broadcast directly into the game itself, and everyone here in our Gothic could hear us.
Well, everyone that comes into the theater should be able to hear us.
Well, wouldn't that mechanic work either way, no matter where you are?
It doesn't sound like a broadcasting thing that people will just hear you when they walk up to you. It sounds more like they'll be able to specify, like, I don't know, the URL for, like, Radio Free Guys stream, and then type that in, and then they'd be able to hear that through the game.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but it would still be something that an individual or, you know, group like us or Radio Free Gaia could project into the game that would allow other people to listen to, is I guess my point.
Yeah, if we were like running our own like audio radio stream and then gave people that while we're standing in the Albion Theatre, we could like, that's how we could, you know, broadcast our voices while we were doing a play or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I'm not sure how that's going to come down. We do, well, a lot of games do have voiceover IP. Vivox, I do believe, is, am I correct? Glatrix, like in the ones that's in the Star Trek line?
Yeah, a lot of MMOs have Vivox.
Yeah, Vivox. And
I,
like,
don't, know, I
recently...
don't know if Star Wars has it. I don't think they have any.
Well, I know Defiance, you know, a game that I'm playing too. They also, it's a cross-platform game that goes from PC, Xbox, and Xbox, PlayStation, stuff like that. I think the Wii too. You can actually use an Xbox and PlayStation like microphone, stuff like that, so you can talk to your different people, and you can run around, and when you're running around, different people, depending on how close you are, you can actually hear them talking over the game. And then sometimes, depending on where you are, what you're doing, that can be very annoying. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So I always suspected that maybe someday Vivox actually might come to the Secret World, which, you know, a lot of people actually hate it. So they just keep to their team speaks or whatever voiceover IP address, you know, they use that system. And if they were to bring in like that broadcasting thing, like the way I thought of it, the way I took it, like it'd be a broadcasting. I'm running around with my little cell phone MP3, and if you're close enough to me, you can hear what's going on, just like if you were walking down the street. You know, that's what I kind of took from it. I hear it perfect because it's me. But if you're like 20 meters away from me, you won't hear it. If you're 10, you might barely hear it. If you're next to me, you might hear it, you know? That's why I kind of took it. And I don't think that'd be kind of a cool idea. I could see me shutting that off.
Yeah, I could see that being either... absorbing or more immersive, or it could also break immersion, depending on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they're playing that same song over and over and over again, like some goofy song. And at first, like, hey, that's cool. And then, like, over and over, especially if you're in a raid and they're playing, oh, that'd be awful.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, even worse, like, I mean, you know, we're standing right here in Agartha, and obviously there are people not part of the broadcast that are standing around. Some of them have been here for, you know, several minutes at least. And, you know, what if they were, you know, doing something annoying audio-wise?
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's positives and negatives to the prospect.
Mm-hmm. So some other stuff that he mentioned in there is going to be definitely, whereas issue 6 was so James Bond, or sorry, so Indiana Jones, issue 7 is going to be so James Bond with tuxedos and the whole nine yards. And it's going to take place in the Carpathian Fangs. You're going to get sent to the Council of Venice. You're going to meet a new agent. They're basically going to be putting you through some training so to prepare you, to prepare your mind for Tokyo.
But that's for issue 8, though.
Tokyo is for issue 8, yes.
No, issue 8 begins with a summons to Venice, and this is the part in issue 8 that you'll have to undergo certain training.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm kind of concerned by the fact that issue 7's main storyline is going to happen in Carpathian Fangs, because that's going to leave out a lot of undergeared people.
You know, that occurred to me too, because I basically just got there. And you really have to be geared up in order to do any missions over there. So that question, that very same question, kind of crossed my mind as well. But
it's probably going to be even worse, because right now we're geared up. We're doing the besieged farmlands, which is basically Kingsmith. And then, you know, from Kingsmith, you go to the Savage Coast with everything's a little bit higher. And then you get to Blue Mountains, which is like Boom, you know. And Blue Mountains is just like, it's like equivalent to the Scorched Desert kind of thing, right? So when you actually get into Carpathian Fangs, you know, I got all quality 10 blues. You think this is going to be that? What's the gear that we should be running with to be able to do that?
I don't know.
Call it 10 blues, maybe.
Yeah, 10 blues minimum. I mean, I had difficulty when I first got geared up in my Q10 purples going through Carpathian Fangs, because that's like the top. You know, Besiege, then it goes to the Forest, then it goes to Carpathian Fangs, and those guys are no joke.
Mm-hmm. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Transylvania is the highest right now. Transylvania is in-game.
Basically, other than like nightmare mode, elite nightmare dungeons.
So for questing, stuff like that, the Carpathian Fangs is endgame. So, well, we're already in Transylvania, so we should be able to, we should get geared up for it, because it's going to be coming in a couple months.
Yeah, like you said, if Besieged is to Kingsmouth, then Carpathian is to Blue Mountain as far as progression difference of hardness.
Yeah, because you can't even come from the Savage Coast, which is the next tier from Kingsmith, right into the Blue Mountains, and not get your ass handed to you a couple times.
If you just do, like, if the main storyline in Kingsmith is one of the first things you do, and you enter the Savage Coast, being level 3 or 4, you can really find some of the missions, like, downright impossible. You really have to go back and spend time in Kingsmith, you know, getting your skill points up, and before you venture deeper into Savage Coast. And I guess that's the kind of thing with progressing in any new instance.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to get geared up. So, but I'm kind of hoping, I don't know, he hasn't really mentioned any time frames, at least not that I've noticed.
No.
Because I really want to know when will issue 7 be able to be downloaded. Because I'm kind of hoping it's going to be soon. But at the same time, I guess they're going to... They have a way of checking how many people are actually running the last mission to Cairo and the dailies there. So maybe if things start, you know, winding down with the last DLC, maybe they'll hurry up with the new one. But then again, considering how many staffing issues they've had since the restructuring, I don't know. It might be a month or two before we actually see new DLC. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be a good guess, and it's a month and a half to 2 months away.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they did say that, you know, on the story quest itself, on the storyline, that they wanted to have, yeah, issue 13 out this year. And like, you know, we're almost halfway, you know, we're coming towards, you know, not very far away from halfway point of this year. And, you know, so that means they're going to have to pump out almost 6 issues. Or not 6 issues,
yeah,
5
one
issues.
A month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Well, issue 13 is supposed to land in January. And it's just like Tokyo. Tokyo was supposed to land January of this year. But, you know, they've pushed it back because of their corporate reshuffling. I hope they don't sit too long in between DLC packs. Because a lot of games are coming out. Defiance is one that I've just talked about there a little while ago. You know, you have SOTOR, Star Trek Online, Neverwinter's coming. Yeah, Neverwinter's coming. Elder Scrolls is coming. Transformers, the new Transformers Online is coming out soon. There's a bunch of new games and MMOs and stuff like that to play online. So the longer it is you span your DLCs, people will get burnt out, you know, running the same missions if they complete an end game, and then they'll go off, do something else. Then, you know, from that something else, you know, it might take them a while to actually get back to the secret world. So if you keep them engaged, especially if issue 6, you know, they put this out, the last train to Cairo. Now, from there, they have, you know, the ability to track how many people has played it, just like Antina just said, right? Now, if they sit there and like 98% of the population bought The Last Train to Cairo and played it, you know, it's going to be well worth it for them to actually, you know, have the next one ready to go very soon. Now, if only 20% played it, then that tells them that either they're not all the way up there yet to be able to get to it, or blah blah blah, yucky smackity. They have all these little things that they look at, all these different numbers, and then from there they might, you know, okay, maybe with our next DLC we'll phase it out just a little bit longer, maybe an extra 2 weeks or a month. I don't know how their marketing goes.
Yeah, but the good thing is that he had mentioned that they've already begun work on issue 8. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's kind of an indication that issue 7 is like at least, you know, halfway done. Because I don't think they would have started working on
or at least
issue 8. Yeah. So I'm kind of, because of that, I'm kind of thinking in the next month, even they might actually put out issue 7. Well, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Well, I know that 9, 10, 11 are all Tokyo, and that's pretty much near the finish line. So once they get past 8, probably 9, 10, 11 are probably all going to come out a month, you know, on that monthly schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus I'm not sure how it is with MMOs, but do things wind down over the summer period?
Nope.
No, nope. For me, they wind up.
Yeah.
That's when I get to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's only... it,
You also have to remember that this is now a non-sub game, and Joel invites people to play other games while they're waiting for this content, so he's well aware of that. It's just people have to set their limits, you know? Not everyone can play 6 MMOs at one time and get lost in it, you know? Some people have limits. I generally, right now, I'm playing 2, sometimes 3. So, you know, I got things to do while I wait. It's not that big of a deal for me.
Well, I got 3 on the fly, but do you really think that's a good mission statement to say, hey, you know, well, you know, while in between these different breaks, you know, why don't you go play another game and spend your money there? You know, is that really a good mission statement?
Well, it's better than the Blizzard model where they just kind of lie to you about things that are coming out and, you know, and you still pay to wait 6 months for an update.
Yeah, but let's face it, I mean, people are going to do it either way. You don't actually have to tell them to do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that unless you've been playing it since launch, there's way more in WoW than just about any other MMO you can think of, even without the updates. Or rather, because of the updates over, you know, whatever, has it been like 7 years almost now?
Mm-hmm. 10 million players. Actually, I heard that they dropped down to 5 million players now.
I don't know if it's that low, but yeah, it's on the wane.
Yeah, they've lost 1 million players. Too bad we couldn't have them all here in the secret world.
That would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if sorry, that was my phone. I wonder.
Sure, you're whistling at me.
Awkward.
That wasn't awkward. That's a cute sound. And I forgot what I wanted to say. Go figure. Had a brain freeze.
Well, I did want to say that in the, you know, we're coming up on that year anniversary of this game, and I think in the first year of this game, this game has obviously offered more than Vanilla WoW ever did in its first year.
That may be. I didn't join WoW until June of 2006, so, you know, a good year and a half after it launched.
Yeah, well, it's like the first year of WoW was like bug fix galore for the whole year.
Yeah, I've got more out of this game in its first year than I have in any MMO I've played so far.
Wow, even STO?
Even STO.
I do remember with STO, there was a lot of issues, especially after they went free to play. There was a lot of issues with content. Remember that, Xander?
Mm-hmm.
People were just being turned right off and they were leaving the game en masse.
Yeah, the only other game I've played that's offered as much as The Secret World, maybe just slightly more because they actually did meet their every single month update, was Rift, and I played that for a year and a half and enjoyed the hell out of it until I got into Secret World,
which kicked its ass. Yes, it kicked its ass. But there was some PvP updates he also mentioned in the letter too, that, you know, the relook of the faction balance, you know, of Fusang, you know, and the capture mechanics. Tweaks to the matchmaking system. I guess they snuck a little machine in there during issue 6 to collect data, so that way they can see all kinds of cool things or what's not so cool. And maybe that's actually why a lot of the things weren't working in PvP that people were complaining about, you know, putting in that little device. But the coolest thing is, and I think it's cool, I don't PvP. Now, if Yanku was here, I think she'd go apeshit over it. But I'm going to listen to Faye's reaction. Faye. I
love Faye. It's a mix.
The Black Ops PvP feature. Tell us a little bit about that and what you think.
I'll read it real fast and then I'll get my comment. It says, in addition, we are beginning the early work on our Black Ops PvP feature. This feature will be similar to events in other games, except that an area of a playfield will become contested as the three factions fight to control relics, areas, important people passing through an area. I can't promise it for issue 7, but work on it has begun, which means it probably won't be out until about the time that Tokyo's out. I don't know. It adds an extra facet, because I think that's to get people out of the turtling mode in El Dorado primarily, because right now you keep your turtle. Relics and you turtle around them and you protect them to win. And then, oh good, my dog's adding her 2 cents in here.
Yeah, she agrees.
So obviously she does. Oh, shut up, dog.
Very opinionated dog.
What do you think of the new DLC? Roof. Yeah, it's pretty rough, isn't it?
Yeah. I think she sees a dog outside. So anyways, it should be interesting, if anything. It gives us one more thing to do while we're in PvP, and... Oh, never mind.
What kind of dog
PvP
is it?
PvP's great. That's a beagle back there.
We got a beagle, too.
Beagle, we got it, too. I love beagles.
Yes, our Loki. Yes, no, that's funny. Yeah, so I might be interested to pick up this Black Ops mission when it finally launches. But since I called you Fee, let's see what Fee did last week.
I have one thing to say. You better work.
Hi, it's Fee here. And this week on Fee's Fashion Weekly, we're going to talk about secrets of Salome. Now, this is an outfit for the girls. It's part of the new outfits that came out recently. And it goes for 1200 FC per single character, unless you're Grandmaster like I am. And then it's only like 960. But fear not, friends. If you want many of your awesomely sexy female characters to wear this, only cost you 1500 FC account wide. Now this is a single piece uniform because there's not much to it. I mean, have you seen this, girls? Oh, look at this thing. I can see belly buttons, I can see partial nipple, and I can almost make out a butt. Oh, just makes me tingle when I look at it. Oh, I love the Secrets of Salome. It brings all the boys to the bar. Speaking of boys, let's look at the one for the males called the Arabian Nights. Now, this covers up much more. Ugh, what can you do? So, here we have, looks like this skirt belt thing, the strapping belt that wraps around the muscular tone of a man. But then they got these genie pants and these awkward looking boots. I would hate to be a man and wear that with my male character. It's just too much. So, this has been Fee's Fashion Weekly, and I'm Fee. See you later.
You better watch out, you better not cry. You better watch out, I'm telling you why. Fee's Fashion Weekly's coming online. You can catch Beyond's Gone Crazy, and my computer's whacked. And don't forget about Beyond last week, because you know we've gone... Yeah, I lost it again.
Crazy.
Crazy!
Oh my god, that sounded like Ed the Horse.
Wilbur!
Yeah, oh my god, that's awesome. And considering that Faye's a horse right now, he's just horsing around.
I swear to god, that horse looks more like a cow to me.
Right now on the live stream, I'm previewing me wearing the that Arabian Nights thing. Now I'm going to see if I can actually go and put the horse head on there. It's under what hat?
And Cheetah is wearing it right now and dancing in the female version.
There you go. So I'm wearing a horse head. You know, there's a lot of mixed reviews with the horse head. A lot of people were cheesed off and a lot of people got the joke. Where do you guys fall on?
I don't really know the reference, so it doesn't affect me.
I think it's going to be a very interesting Halloween this year, considering they just put out a, you know, pig's head and now a horse head that looks like a cow.
I don't think you can do both, which is actually kind of odd.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can do both?
Oh, he was trying to preview both the Arabian Knight and the horse head at the same time.
No, I couldn't do it.
I'm thinking you can't do both. You can't have the both heads on at the same time.
And no, like, that won't work either. Although I did manage to get both the Rocketeer mask and the Magneto helmet on at the same time. Let me see if I can do that again.
So a lot of people are upset in the forums that we got a horse head. Now they're saying that they're tired of these silly joke items. You know, the silly joke items that you get because, you know, veterans and subscribers get a free gift every month. And it usually comes in the form of some kind of a mask or, you know, we also got the Anubis helmet-wearing dog, too. I forget what the dog was called. Who has this dog here, anyway?
It's mine.
What's the dog's called? What's the dog's name again?
Pharaoh Hound.
Yes, the Pharaoh Hound. You know, we got a lot of cool stuff. You know, like the mask, the tentacles, the hat, the tall hat, top hat with the tentacles, stuff like that. And I do believe we had a response from one of the devs. People were complaining on forums, and they said that, yeah, they're just trying to think back over the last month. In January, they had a Frosty Tentacle hat. You know, it was Christmas, Secret World. There you go, you know, boom. February was the Anubis mask based on the Egyptian mythology, glowy eyes and cool effects to scare people, right? You know, that was for the DLC pack, issue 6, that was coming up, you know, very soon. In March, we got the Pharaoh Hound. Again, you know, DLC pack, issue 6. You know, so it kind of fits that Egyptian whole stuff.
Theme, yeah.
Then in April, we got the drug mask, you know. Fits the game perfectly, right? Just, you know, it's the drug, right? You fight them in the beginning. And then, yeah, in May, right now, we got the horse head mask. So, you know, come, you know, October, we're going to have lots of cool things. Now, if you look at Rowan right now, he's wearing a Magneto, and the Magneto helmet and the leather face mask. It actually looks pretty cool.
Hey, what is the guy standing in front of me? He's wearing something pretty cool on his back.
That is a rocket launcher. That is a rocket launcher with a... what is that? Is that a hell...
Yeah, it looks like it.
Skin?
It looks pretty awesome.
Well, as you know, you can get different skins in games for your weapons, right? And this here is a skin from... probably from hell. I'm not actually sure what the name. Like, if you look right here, I have the whip. I'm going to fire it off right here, right quick. And I have the Arachi whip. And it was just a whip that I put the Arachi skin on. Makes nice little cool lights. And it glows.
Where'd you get the skin from? Drops?
No, I got the skin. I bought the blueprints on the auction house.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
you can get different ones. I forgot the names of... there were 3 options.
Well, there's not...
For 3 different skins.
Well, you need 3 blueprints to create... one mold to put on. And then you have, like, the Arachi one of probably Hell. I think Glatrix, she said there's a Soviet one. That's most likely Transylvania.
Yeah, that one. And that one is freakishly expensive. That one's like the most expensive one of all. All 3 blueprints are the most expensive ones.
I think there's a 4th one. There's a corrupted one that I've got for my chainsaw. No, that's a whip.
You had your chainsaw equipped a little while ago. But what was the skin called for the chainsaw? Because that was the same.
Corrupted. It's the ones you get from Darkness War because they're all corrupted in there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the corrupted. Yeah, so that's your little fallback to hell. Yeah, I like the Arachi equipment myself. It's kind of cool, futuristic, yet it's now. It's hip, it's wow, it's now, you know? We also go ahead.
I love that your headband works on your face mask there.
That is funny, the horse headband.
Except for I'm wearing glasses on mine, so it looks really weird because they're lined up with my people face, but not my eyes and my horse.
Yeah. Now, you notice that I managed to get the Magneton helmet and the Rocketeer helmet on the same time.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. That's pretty gruesome, actually. It looks pretty gruesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's because, one, the Magneton helmet, the Magneto helmet, is a hat, whereas the Rocketeer is a mask. So they're on different parts of your, you know, much like you guys have the glasses and the headband or the, yeah, you know, the scarf on over your head.
Can anyone yeah hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Did you hear me a moment ago?
No.
No.
I was talking, and I think I got kicked out of the game.
You're dancing right here.
Well, maybe, did you get kicked out of the TeamSpeak?
No, my computer went all wonky, and I'm just logging into the game again.
Because I heard somebody had left the channel, but I don't know who it was.
Yeah, that was probably me. It told me lost connection to the game server. If I wanted to switch servers, and then it failed to authenticate and kicked me out.
We also have a Templar down there right now with the horse mask on, just to doing the giddy up. So, you know, we're doing Gangnam style. We're in a horse outfit. You know, it's kind of cool. I think so.
Hey, Galactrix, also... what skin is that? An Arachi skin that you have on the rock? Is that a No, that's a chainsaw, right?
It's the corrupted chainsaw that I was talking about.
Yeah, it's like burnt metal and everything charred, yet it's like has a touchback of the filth kind of thing.
Yeah, looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. Now, we also, like, also released, yeah, was the new Meat is Murder, you know, DLCs. So I can preview the men's version, but I don't know that, Antita, you didn't buy the female's version, did you?
No, it looked cool at first, but then when I looked at it better, it reminded me of Disunity, which came out, what, just like 2-3 weeks ago? Yeah. So I'm still not sure if I'm actually going to buy it.
Yeah, there's a big difference between that and Disunity, because you have no pants. You have no backside in your skirt. I like the female top, though. If they didn't have the skirt part, and you could wear pants or whatever kind of skirt you wanted to do, I think that would be a really cool jacket or shirt to wear, like in some kind of a dungeon, because it kind of looks armorishy and cool and sexy. But, yeah, the skirt with the open back so you can see your bloomers. Yeah, I didn't quite like that. And the Miss Piggy head. Halloween's coming, you know, in a couple months, you know, maybe that's kind of cool. But the Meat is Murder men's version is what I'm wearing right now. You get rubber gloves, yeah. Well, I suppose it could be rubber gloves.
They are, I think.
Yeah. Rubber gloves, boots, pants. There's nothing I can really say good about the actual shirt itself. I don't really like it, and the boar mask, it's kind of like a saw throwback, and
can
I'm
you
not
stand
really...
up straight, Xander? I just want to see something. Can you stand up straight?
If I do that, it'll break the thing.
Okay, never mind then. Now, I was just looking at the way that the black top it kind of curves upward. I don't know if it's because you're like crouching that way or because it just is that way.
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of like a leather fetish thing. I'm not really into it. But I'll put my happy horse mask back on. But I don't know. I'm not going to put my money on it. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, like I said, it looked very cool at first, but then
nay. So
yeah,
we're
it certainly looks cool, but it's a bit too freaky for me.
Yeah, I don't even think you can... there's just looking at the costume parts itself, I don't even think that there's... like, we did a fashion segment last week where you can mix and match things, but I don't think there's anything that this goes with, really, that you can mix and match with anything, you know, to be honest.
You can change the boots.
Well, yeah, you can change the boots, the pants, the shirt, but I don't think you wear that shirt with anything, right? The only thing remotely interesting to me, myself personally, is the mask. I might wear that on Halloween or something, but I wouldn't buy it just for the mask. Everything else, to me, I didn't like.
Yeah.
So that one was pretty much a thumbs down for me. We're going to throw it over to Faye's Big Deck.
Hello, friends. Have you ever been out slaying monsters with a friend, and you get your deck lined up to penetrate the armor of a foe, just to have your friend jump in front of you with his superior deck and pound that monster ever so quick and hard that you didn't even see it coming? Well, I'm here to tell you, I've been in that very same uncomfortable position, and it made me angry that my deck did not stand up to my friends. To avoid an embarrassing situation, listen to Faye's Big Deck. We'll all help you understand the deepest unknown features of your deck so that you will be able to lift your head up high the next time you are out with your friends. I hope you will listen to Faye's Big Deck on Beyond the Veil live every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, or check us out through hollowsweetmagazine.com. Hello and welcome to Faye's Big Deck. Today we're going to talk about all the inner wheel of the swords or blades ability. The blade skills are split in the damage and survivability aspect. The damage, known as two cuts, states whenever you hit an enemy with a blade ability, you apply the two cuts effect. Hitting the enemy with blade ability consumes this effect to deal additional damage. It's 6 damage per 1 skill point invested. The next one is survivability, called vigor. When an enemy attack glances you, you gain a percentage of the damage it deals back as healing to yourself. Now we're going to start with the tier 1 abilities of blade. These are separated as well into method and technique. Under method, Delicate Strike is the first active ability. It's a single target blade attack that deals moderate amount of damage, and it builds a weapon resource for each equipped weapon. The first passive is Delicate Precision. It increases the chance for your Delicate Strike that we just mentioned to penetrate. When penetrating means it gets through all the armor and hits your opponent directly. Balanced Blade. This is another active. It's a blade attack that deals a large amount of damage to enemies around you, exploits an impaired state, and consumes all blade resources. The next passive is Exposed Weakness. This is, whenever you set an impaired state, you increase your chance to penetrate over a short time. The next active is Dancing Blade. This is a single target blade focus that channels a large amount of damage over multiple hits. This also consumes all of your blade resources. The next passive is Sharp Blades. This increases all damage dealt by blade abilities. Now the elite active, part of the method tier, Stunning Swirl. This is the elite active and does a blade attack that deals a moderate amount of damage and stuns nearby enemies. It sets an impaired state. So remember, once you get your opponent impaired with Stunning Swirl, go back and use your Balanced Blade, which does extra damage if your opponent is impaired. The first one under the technique is a passive called Immortal Spirit. Whenever you penetrate, you will gain a short duration heal over time effect. The first active in the technique tree is Blade Torrent, a blade frenzy that deals a moderate amount of damage to nearby targets and generates a large amount of hate. This builds a weapon resource for each equipped weapon. The next one is a passive called Perfect Storm. This helps your Blade Torrent, stating that Blade Torrent also deals damage over time and sets an afflicted state. The next one under the technique tier is Martial Discipline. This is an active that makes you significantly harder to hit for a short time. The next passive is Regeneration. For the duration of Martial Discipline, you get a heal over time. The next active is Surging Blades. You dash forward, dealing a large amount of damage to enemies in a column in front of you. Now the elite passive under the technique tree is Fluid Defense. Whenever you are glanced, your mitigation is increased for a short time. And whenever you penetrate, your damage output is also increased for a short time. Now this has been the inner wheel for Blade. And now that we've gone over this, on my next episode, we are going to talk about the deck called the Champion, which is a fist and blade deck. So until next time, this has been Faye's Big Deck.
Now, we also talked earlier in the episode that people had, you know, mixed responses and stuff like that. And we also had mentioned that, you know, is it a really good idea to let, you know, actively say to people, hey, you know, okay, we're gonna you know, put out an issue, not every month now, but we're going to maybe every 2 months or how it comes. So it's okay to actually go to another MMO and play for a little while. Now, we actually have something here that actually does sound really good. Now, in the forums, Antita found this in the forums. O Romeo in the forums. We'll put the link into the chat screen and up on holosuitemagazine.com so you can go and take a look at this, right? Basically, it's a player that was here from the beginning, from when TSW started. And then they played straight up till, you know, Egypt. And around Egypt, that's when they got Guild Wars 2. Now, because of all the hype train that was behind Guild Wars 2, just like it was for Star Wars The Old Republic, they jumped on the bandwagon and went into Guild War 2. Now, I know a lot of people did this, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if a game is interesting to you, by all means, go and go check it out. Experience it, right? You know, there's no reason why you have to stay just solely in one game and only be that one game. If, you know, experience, just like life, experience different things, right? So they went off and they played. Now, apparently, they got burnt out completely from MMOs with all the grinding that is in Guild Wars 2. Now, I don't know anything about Guild Wars 2. I used to follow it. You know, I've known about the Secret World since 2005. And then shortly, you know, just when Guild Wars 2 and Secret World was hyping up or was getting the stuff out, I had to make a choice. Do I play, you know, the Secret World, get the Grandmaster's Pack, or do I do both, get the Secret World, just the normal edition, you know, and with the normal edition, I'd have to pay, I'd have to subscribe, and then get Guild Wars 2, or do I just get Guild Wars 2 and get, like, the Uber edition or whatever that came out with it? I don't remember if even it was one. I decided on, obviously, Secret World. Obviously, that's why we're here. So, I went to that. Now, did you guys have any experience in Guild Wars 2? Any of you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is it grindy, like he was saying in the post?
In the beginning.
I didn't find it grinding.
I found it grinding in the beginning, you know, until you get to around level 20 and you unlock all your stuff. It gets a little grindy.
And see, yeah, I didn't find that it was very grindy at all. I don't know. It was fun. The format's different. Comparing the hype train to the Sworder hype train, I can see that, but... Guild Wars is 10 times the game that Sworder is.
Oh, yeah?
At least I think so. I had a lot more fun playing Guild Wars than I did playing Sworder. On the other hand, I guess I played Sworder longer, so maybe I'm lying.
Yeah, well, I found it not grindy because I was focusing on doing the story and the other kind of things you do in the game, like crafting. I really like the crafting system in Guild Wars 2. And, yeah, I didn't find it that grindy.
Well, so they made their return, okay? They made the return back to TSW. Now that they've seen it went free-to-play, buy-to-play. And so they're back in the game, playing around, different stuff, made a new character. I don't remember if it was a Templar. I think it was a Templar character because they had a dragon before.
Yeah.
So, you know, Templar. Anyway.
Yeah, they took the easy way out the second time.
What's that?
I said they took the easy way out the second time around.
Do you want the blue pill, the red pill, or the green pill?
Oh, the green pill. I'll take all three pills. It's more fun that way.
Druggy.
Ooh, that's going to be a party and a half. Anyway, so they ended up taking the red pill, and they went Templar, and... So, I forgot where they are right now. You know, I just read the article not too long ago. But, basically, what they were saying is pretty much Guild Wars 2 burnt them out on MMOs completely with the grinding. So, they decided to go and try to revamp their mind and become a casual gamer, a casual MMO player, not trying to relive a second life inside the game. Pretty much like me, I'm a casual gamer. I play when I can, and not that I have to get home, run away, and sit at the computer and game. Obviously, you can't run a studio if it's all I did. But with this, they got back into the Secret World, And, you know, he went through and he fell back in love with the questing. Now, he kept comparing through the whole post Guild Wars to Secret World. Now, questing apparently beat out Guild Wars completely, especially with the investigation missions and all the different stuff. Voice acting and the writing was awesome. The setting, without a doubt, he was completely taken aback from. Community, he had mixed feelings with the community, you know, trying to get into cabals and trying to get in different missions, but ended up, you know, doing some of the missions, or sorry, some of the dragon dungeons. He ended up being with five people, and they actually had a really, really good time. The dungeons, he said, could use a little bit of work. The performance, now, even though Secret World runs with NVIDIA DirectX 11, I do believe now, I can't use DirectX 11 for some reason, because it always crashes my game client. I don't know, do you, any of you have that problem?
I'm not sure which DirectX I'm using right now.
No, I got both. They both work on mine.
Yeah, I'm not the default one's any problems with running DirectX 11.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I'm using 11 now.
Oh, there, you guys have super cool quality. I have good quality too. I'm happy. But yeah, every time it was about a month after DirectX 11 came out for the game that it crashed, and every time I try to go in, it just keeps crashing. But they does say that there's lots of performance issues. That they have a really super computer, runs all the games that they have on the good levels and as superior levels, and basically this is the only game that actually glitches out, which I kind of concur, because, well, London, I always lag like crazy, even though I have super awesome internet. My computer is great, so I'm running all these different applications at the same time without a flaw, yet whenever I go to London with nothing open, just a game, it takes me 5 minutes just to get to the bank. You know, it's just like one of those weird things, right? Anyone else have that problem?
Yep. I sometimes just hate going to London because of the lag.
Well, you know what's strange? I don't understand why London is so laggy. I mean, there's dozens more people here right now in Agartha, and I have no trouble. But I can be running down an empty street in London, and it's laggy. My FPS just plummets.
I had that problem before. I had really bad lag when I used to log into London and walk around the place. And I had to reinstall my game recently, and I left the setting for tessellation turned off, and now I don't get any lag in London at all. It's all completely smooth.
Maybe I'm going to have to go back my settings and take a look.
Yeah,
so check DirectX 11 again. But graphics, animations were very great, but very poor when it comes to characters and clothing, in their opinion. I do like the characters, the way the character bodies are. I do like the bodies. I wish there's more customization. That's the key. A lot of the clothing is cool. I don't have a problem with the animations or stuff like that for the clothing. One of the things I did talk about was in Guild Wars 2, your dress can flow in the wind, whereas here you can't. It doesn't really flow in the wind unless you're moving, and then it moves. It's like a body sock kind of thing. It moves according to what your legs do or your arms do. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but I do agree. That we need some more character customization. We have limited hair. The eyes, like, I have changed my character's eyes like 13 times. I must be the highest counted person changing their looks all the time, just because my eyes, I can never get them right. It just seems to me that when you're in the character creator, you see it a different way. And then when you get into the game, it looks completely different. Like, one time I had Gowron eyes, but in the character creator, it looked really, really cool. It was like, wow, that's me. And then, boom, whoa, I'm Gowron. What the hey, right? They need some more options.
I'm just glad I know who Gowron is.
Gowron.
Yeah, those options are pretty slim. I mean, running through the game, I've been playing for a few months now, and I think on average I meet a twin like at least 2-3 times a week, literally. It could be that it's just the hair or the color of the hair is slightly different, but the facial features are absolutely the same. And it's like, please, can you give us more options for, if nothing else, for the face and hair?
It's like the girl who's standing in front of you who just sewn in has your exact same hair style, but it's purple instead of your color.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even the hair, it's very limited. They have lots of short hairstyles and quite some funky ones too, which is great. But when it comes to long hair, what they call long to me is medium. It's basically not even, you know, it doesn't even cover the shoulders. So even the ponytails are just like, yeah, small, tiny. So there's definitely room for improvement there.
Well, that's basically, they always said that they didn't want long hair because in a true zombie apocalypse, you don't want anything for those creatures to grab onto.
Yeah, but this is not really seriously, a true zombie
apocalypse. Yeah, you want to run around killing zombies in high heels? I don't think so. Or in an outfit such as this?
Yeah.
You don't. So that kind of argument goes right out the window.
It does go right out the window, but the argument that doesn't go out the window is the same argument or same reason that the UI for the guild management UI hasn't been updated. The same reason that the updates, the issues have been slowed down. There are a lot of technical graphics issues that, you know, the fact of the matter is they don't have the manpower or the money to create long hair and have it look good.
Exactly.
Yeah, but on the whole, I would prefer to have new content over, you know, 10,000 different hairstyles.
Exactly.
So, you know, at
but there
the,
should be
at
a
the
balance.
End of the yeah, I know. But the thing is, like I said, it comes down to whether I would like them to pay more attention to character creation versus new content. And to me, without a doubt, new content.
Well, since we're a couple of us are playing Defiance, let's talk about how much character creation you get in that game, which is less than this game. So,
oh, horrible!
You know, it's real horrible in that game.
It's horrible. You get like four different facial features, four different hairstyles, four different classes. Yeah, it's horrible. Now, I came from Star Trek Online, and on Star Trek Online, the game, you can just make a game out of just creating your character. There's so much. You can even
overwhelming, actually.
You can make your butt really big. You can make yourself really small. You can make yourself like a midget. You can have like huge, huge breasts, or, you know, really, really huge freaking fat lips. And you can make yourself look like aliens. And like, there's like, it's Cryptic has always been renowned for their character creator. You know, that's one of the cool things is if you want to make yourself in the game, no matter how you look, you can make yourself in the game no matter how you look.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen Insto, I've seen Navi, I've seen Yoda, I've seen, you know, just the craziest things that years like somebody sat for I don't know how long and figured out how to make a convincing, you know, this or that alien that don't have anything to do with Star Trek. It's that versatile.
I made the Grinch every
year.
That
is awesome.
Yeah, every year for Tribbles, A Very Merry Tribbles Christmas. We do a Christmas special every year for Star Trek Online. And yeah, I made a Grinch, and he passes out the prizes.
That's awesome.
At the beginning, before we even started recording tonight, I was asked by Antita why you never see my face. It's maybe because I like to always wear hats and glasses and whatnot to cover up my face, because you can see my face on many different tunes. So I customize my face usually by my, you know, whatever I have in my face list or whatever I have in my hat list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you project yourself out.
Yes. Right now I'm a horse, but yeah. That's
you're horsing around.
The thing to do.
Yeah, you're just horsing around, exactly.
Yeah. So, combat. They went on to continue about combat. Combat is great, but it's lacking something. Like, you know, they're talking about, yeah, okay, again, Guild Wars 2. Or actually, Neverwinter. You know, that too. You know, a lot of people are talking about Neverwinter now because it's in the beta. I think there is some stuff released on some videos or whatever. But even though you're not doing that much damage, it looks like you're doing a lot of damage. Like, when you're fighting a boss, or when you're fighting a creature here in the secret world, they don't react to your hits a lot. Unless you do a knockback and actually knock them back or do a hindered. They don't really react. Now, I guess in Neverwinter, they actually react. Guild Wars 2, is that the same in Guild Wars 2? Do they actually react to your hits?
I don't know. It depends on what your weapon is, I guess. I mean, I could set them on fire and stuff.
But you know what he's trying to say. Like, you know, I shoot you in the leg, start limping around for a little bit. And here it is.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and there's no reaction to your attacks unless they die or they knock back or they're hindered or not even poisoned. If they're poisoned, I think they slow down a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah, so they go through the motions which they're programmed to go, and you as well with the weapon, and there's no interaction. There's no cause and effect.
Yeah, causality. And then they went on to talk about the skill wheel too, which, you know, there's all the possibilities, but they can be daunt sometimes, because there's been this really big debate on the forums. Should we allow to be have respecs, or should we not? Now, this is a question I want to ask you guys. Should we have the ability to respect a character if we want? Or not? What do you think, Antita?
In what?
In the ability wheel.
In the secret world?
Yeah, in the secret world. Or go ahead,
I don't think so, because I've got every skill, so I wouldn't need to respec.
Okay. For someone starting out, let's say month one, you don't have all that many points and you decided to switch yourself. What? Okay, well, yeah. I kind of had, when they were talking about it, I kind of had a similar thing. I started off with AR and Blade, and I wanted to switch to AR and Elemental, but everything I had was in Blade, so it took me a very long time to get my AR and Elemental up. So I put stuff all over the place because, hey, that'd be kind of cool to have that, but I really didn't understand what I was doing at the time. And now I'm paying for it now, but I'm at a higher tier, so I'm actually getting, you know, ability points quite cheaply, and I'm flushing it out.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It depends on the style of play and how much time you actually are able or want to dedicate to a certain instance. If you want to diversify and try out different skills, make sure that you try them out on the same level. So, and stay in the same instance. Because as you progress through the instances, missions get progressively harder, and you will need those skill points. So if you go into Carpathian Fangs, you know, and you're not geared up, like we said earlier, you won't really be able to finish the missions that you start, simply because you'll just keep on dying. So I don't know. Like I said, it depends on the style that you choose to game. You can diversify from the very beginning, which will mean that your progression through the game will be slower, because you'll need to put in all those skill points and APs into many different weapons and abilities. But maybe you just, like, I started out with Blade and Elementalism, and I've stuck with those two. And I was kind of, because of that choice, I was kind of forced to, when it came to dungeons, to actually be a tank. I couldn't very well be a healer or a good DPSer with that kind of build. So whatever decisions, you know, you make have an impact later on.
Well, that's why I constantly tell people, you know, and it's hard to get the word out there, but I always tell people to make sure that you always complete that inner wheel first. Really get to know what the heck you like to play and what your play style is. And then you won't need a respec because you're going to know what your play style is just based off of that. And you can continue up, you know, to the next level in the tiers, the second level of those two abilities you find to be your most favorite.
Yep. Yeah. I think I had the same kind of thing. When I started off, I decided I'm going to use pistols and shotguns. And then I realized that there aren't any Templar decks that use any of those combinations. And I thought, oh, I actually want to try a deck out. And so I took one of those weapons, I think it was pistols, and just went with a deck that uses one of those. But I didn't feel like I needed to respec myself or like, you know, I'm going to reuse these same skill points on something else. Because later on I did need the shotgun and I already had points in that. So, you know, I didn't have to learn it again.
Yeah, the general consensus, at least among this little group, seems to be that, you know, the respecs shouldn't have respecs because they've made it possible to go to, from, you know, to learn all the abilities eventually. I agree with Faye that knowing all the inner deck stuff is pretty good to get a good feel for, you know, how the different weapons really are, because you may come into this from some other game thinking that, you know, you're going to swing a big hammer, only to discover that hammers in the secret world are not what you thought. But that doesn't mean that you have to respec. To respec is because came from the fact that, you know, in WoW or EverQuest or, you know, these older games, you really were limited in the number of talent points that you had. Exactly. anymore, or I should say, in the secret world, you're only limited right now in the talent points or the skill and ability points that you have. Eventually, your way of respecing is simply to start dumping ability points or skill points into a different weapon. I encountered the same thing that everybody else did, you know. Or not everybody else, but some people, where, like, I assumed that the Preacher deck for the Templars was going to be a healing deck. I saw that blood was healing. I saw that, you know, blades, okay, there's a little DPS there. Only to discover later that it's a damage over time, you know, a lot like a Warlock in terms of practice. Like an affliction lock in World of Warcraft. And so I still don't have a good healing deck, simply because I've chosen, or I haven't yet gotten around to the fists, which is, I can't even remember what it is, the Exorcist or something on the Templar. But I will eventually. And, you know, now a lot of people, they like, oh, I got to go back and redo Kingsmith. I hate Kingsmith. I'm so sick of Kingsmith. It's like, no, just move on. You know, deal with what you've got. You know, keep skilling. You know, to put skills into the new weapon that you want, and then you can you'll eventually be able to use it in Savage Coast, in Blue Mountain, in Egypt. And once you start getting to Egypt, I mean, and then especially Transylvania, I mean, the ability points and skill points are literally raining out of the sky. And you know, before you know it, you'll get your, it seems like forever to get your first deck, but then the second deck, you know, I'm talking about presets, of course, the second deck and the third deck come faster and faster, because you're getting more skill and AP per, you know, per kill and per quest in the higher levels. And people don't, you know, but people get stuck, you know, fighting zombies, and like the like Oromeo commented, you know, just got tired of the respawn rates and fighting their way through Kingsmith. Well, you know, somebody further down, you know, said, hey, you know, blades are great, you got some good AoE, you can you know, the point blank AoE of blades has saved me in every character that I have. You know, if I'm just being mass mobbed by something, you know, for some aspect, hey, I'll switch to blades and, you know, and just mow stuff down as I'm running away. That's the best part of those, you know, bamboo cutter and stuff like that is that you don't have to be aiming. You just like swing wildly as you're running away and stuff stops chasing you or dies.
Yep, most definitely.
For a beginner, I would say blades is probably where they want to be, and maybe ranged like pistols assault rifle.
I mean, I just started. I got my blade and elementalism all the way up to level 10, and have just started. I wouldn't say diversifying, but just started. Like putting in my skill points into the ranged, into pistols and assault rifle. Because I know I will need it. I've needed it so far as well. There were a few instances, a few missions, which took me three times the time to do it. And I had to get really creative about completing them. Simply because I did not have a ranged weapon. I only had the blade.
Well, you did say you had elementalism, right?
Yeah, but my elementalism at that time was on a lower skill point level than my blade. It was barely making a dent. And then I just kind of put all the blade abilities up. Because I could use stronger ones that create more damage, but like I said, I had to get really creative with a few missions in order to actually complete them. So I decided that's it. I'm gonna get them all the way up to 10, and then I'm gonna start on the ranged.
Yeah. So depending on your play style, you know, sometimes you might get yourself in a little bit of trouble putting your points all over the place in the beginning. But eventually you'll get to where you gotta go because you're not locked in your abilities. You can actually, the sky's the limits. So I'm kind of for respec, especially in the very beginnings. They should have like maybe a quality 2 respec or something like quality 3 respec. Something if you made a mistake, they can actually go back to maybe your faction and go back through that trainer. Where you picked up your weapons or whatever, and go and respec there. Something you have to do, like do a mission, so that you can respec it, like for the lower levels, or I guess even for high. Because once you actually fill out your deck, once you actually fill out everything, you're not gonna need to respec anymore. But I do think, you know, it would be easier for some people in the lower abilities to be able to have that, but. We're going to be coming to the end of another show. We did want to, you know, talk about one thing. I guess Nasir, you know, the boom boom man, you know, dancing around in Egypt was hijacked. Yes, hijacked. Some GMs taught him how to do Gangnam style. Now, Mortea posted up onto the forums a bunch of pictures from the event that happened last week. And a apparently, they had a really good time dancing and doing Gangnam style in the sun, running around to different locations, using fireworks. And someone was actually in control of Nasir. So that was actually really cool. I want his dance in-game. I want his hair in-game. I don't think we have his hair, but definitely his dance. He's like one of my favorite characters so far in a game. So I hope the next time an event like that comes up, that we can actually go there, or we get a little bit of warning or whatever, so we can go party with him too. But we're going to be coming to the end of another show, so let's find out what you missed last time.
Last time on
Beyond the Veil, the secret world.
Did I say it right this time?
Agartha.
No.
Agartha.
There's no.
Yay!
Yay, super points!
Hey, remember Wayne's World?
Wayne's World, party time, excellent.
What is Wayne's friend's name?
Garth.
Garth. Agartha.
Agartha. Maybe I'll remember that. Every time I come to this magical place, I'll think of Wayne's World, party time.
Great world.
Wayne's World, Wayne's World, it's party time, excellent. Hey,
can this ninja
like...
get the heck? What? Look at him.
We could all move if you'd like.
What, don't you like having a ninja between your legs?
I won't even respond to that.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning.
But
what you should do, you should reposition with Xander.
Uh-huh. So there was some fun that you missed last week. So make sure you find your way to HollowSweetMagazine.com and to iTunes. If you have any questions or comments for us, please send an email to beyondtsw@gmail.com. And make sure, yes, we're on a different night. Had some obligations on for tomorrow, so some of us couldn't make it. But we will be back next week on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on HollowSweet Live Access. So on behalf of the cast and me, I'm Xander. Everyone, we'll see you later and have a great TSW weekend. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
You are now listening to Beyond the Veil, the Sea.